Hey, Sarah here. Summer is fast approaching, and here's what I propose. A relaxed and simple summer that offers just enough structure to keep those long, sticky days from melting into chaos, and just enough fun to keep your kids asking for more. Also, fairy tales. Lots of fairy tales. I'm teaching a free workshop called 3 Simple Steps to a Fairy Tale Summer, and I would love for you to join me. Save your free seat at the workshop by texting the word fairy tale, all one word, to the number 33777. See you there.
We look at, you know, people who are doing these grandiose adventures and they're, you know, whitewater rafting or they're like climbing glaciers in Iceland, and you're like, okay, I can't even hardly take my kids to Target without losing my mind.
Exactly. Like,
that's the biggest adventure we're doing right now.
We walked to the mailbox and it was a disaster.
So I think that it's really important to not compare ourselves and say, oh, if it's not something big, if it's not this, you know, incredible life-changing moment or trip, then it doesn't count.
You're listening to the Read Aloud Revival Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah McKenzie, homeschooling mama of 6 and author of The Read Aloud Family and Teaching from Rest. As parents, we're overwhelmed with a lot to do. It feels like every child needs something different. The good news is you are the best person to help your kids learn and grow, and home is the best place to fall in love with books. This podcast has been downloaded 7 million times in over 160 countries. So if you want to nurture warm relationships while also raising kids who love to read, you're in good company. We'll help your kids fall in love with books, and we'll help you fall in love with homeschooling. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 158. For today's show, I invited my friend Greta Eskridge onto the show because she's got a brand new book that just hit shelves today. It's called Adventuring Together: How to Create Connections and Make Lasting Memories with Your Kids. Now, at Read Aloud Revival, we are all about connecting with our kids. We're also all about Greta Eskridge because we love her. So I was delighted that she was up for coming back on the show to talk with me. She's been on the show twice before, once to talk about how children's literature inspires her to be a better parent. That was episode 42. Then we had her back again for an episode on inspiring a love of nature through books. That was episode 62. And today she's going to inspire us all to adventure with our kids. Which you might be thinking, given the state of the world, how's that gonna work? But that's one thing I love about Greta and her new book. She shows you how to do small things, moments at home, moments through books, and then when you're able, adventures out in the world as well that connect you to your kids and help you form lasting bonds with them. The show notes for today's episode are at readaloudrevival.com/158, so you can go there to grab them and get all the links to anything we talk about today on the show. I started our conversation by welcoming Greta back and telling her we missed her.
Thank you, my favorite place to be.
Oh, we love having you here. We're going to put the links to the shows that you've been on with me before in the show notes for this episode so everyone can go listen to those. Today, I'm so excited because you've got a new book out, released the very day this episode is going up, actually. So tell us about it. Tell us about the stuff lasting connections are made of.
Well, it's going to be hard for me not to cry when I'm talking about this with you on your show, because it just feels like just such an amazing full circle moment. I remember, you know, coming on your show for the first time, and it was the first podcast I'd ever been on. And I was so excited and nervous to talk to you, but we had such a great time. And when I started to write this book about connecting with your kids through adventures, I thought, well, I'm going to have a chapter on connecting with your kids through adventures in books so that I can go back talk to Sarah. The whole book is about connecting with your kids through adventure and building relationship and, you know, those lasting relationships through adventures. And there's a chapter about doing that through books as well.
I know, it made me so happy to see it. And I think it's chapter 12, right? Chapter 12
yep.
is all about adventuring with books. Yes. And I love how at the beginning of that chapter, you say that if you were to describe a bookworm and an adventurer, most people don't think of that being the same person. And I am so 100% that person. I know you are too. I'm pretty sure that's why we're kindred, or at least part of why we're kindred.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure people knew, like, you can love books and still crave adventure. Those two things can coexist.
They totally can. And sometimes they really enhance one another, which we're going to be talking about as well. In that chapter, you say you've had some of the greatest adventures in the pages of books. So let's talk about that.
I grew up with a mom and a dad who pursued adventure with us, but in very different ways. And my dad loved to, you know, he loves to go new places and do new things. And in some ways, he reminds me of Pa from, you know, Little House, the Little House books, just always looking for fun. And he craves that. It fills him up. And my mom, she loves being home. She loves to garden. She loves things to be neat and to have a cup of tea. And she loves reading. And so growing up, it was also physically difficult for her to, you know, like to take us out for a hike or a bike ride. And so for her to adventure in the ways that you think more traditionally about adventure, those weren't readily available to her. So we read lots of books together. And I remember sitting on our big brown velvet couch from the 70s and her reading aloud, like The Yearling, and like adventuring to like the parts of Florida where the Everglades were, and just learning all about that, or feeling like we were in like the Ozarks where the Red Fern Grows takes place, and, you know, tromping through the woods with our coon dog. And we also didn't have very much money, so we didn't travel hardly at all. But through books, we got to see the world. And those are some of the most cherished memories of my childhood.
Well, it's so true, isn't it, that when you're reading a book about a place, especially just a really well-written book, you feel like you've been there. I don't remember which episode it's on, but which number it is, but we'll find it and put a link in the show notes. I talked to the author Amanda Dykes last year, who wrote a historical fiction novel for adults set in Maine, although she had never been to Maine. And we were talking about what an experience it is to try to write a book about a place you've never been but want to go, but, you know, all the different resources you can use and things like that. The funny thing is, I was telling her that right after I finished her book, I was in Florida at a conference, and somebody had mentioned that they were from Maine, and I was like, oh, I just went there. I mean, that was the first thing I thought. I have never been to Maine, although I'm going to remedy that at some point, hopefully in the near future. But I've never been there, but I sure feel like I have. And that's really the experience when you're reading like Robert McCloskey's books, or, you know,
yeah,
it's Burt Dow, or, you know, Blueberries for Sal, or
Time of Wonder. I remember reading that particular book to my oldest when he was like 7, and it was so beautifully written, and the descriptions and just the experience of the book, like both of us had tears in our eyes when we were done. And it was just it's not like a deeply moving story, but just the way he wrote about the place and how much he loved it came through, and it moved us.
Yeah. And it really makes you feel like you've been there. So I think when you go to Maine, then, like when I go to Maine someday, I'm going to feel like I'm revisiting an old friend, I think.
Yes.
I love that so much. Yeah. And I love that your mom, being more of a homebody, was able to adventure with you through books. And then wasn't left out of that really beautiful connection with you to go on adventures together.
Right. And I think that that's, that carried through from childhood to even like when I got married, she gave me a Little House cookbook as at one of my bridal showers, because we had spent so many hours of my childhood reading the Little House books together that it was like that, the adventures we had together in those books, she was sending me off on my next adventure to carrying those with me. And it's just like, it's incredible how much a book can move you and take you places where, you've never been, but you, like you said, you feel like you've been there. And they're so fun.
What I also think, because what you're talking about really is making adventuring accessible to everybody. So
yes,
whether people have a budget to be able to travel, or whether there are health issues, or whether there's a global pandemic happening,
right,
there's a lot of different things that can keep us from being able to go the places we might want to go. And books are such a beautiful way to be able to still go no matter what your right. other constraints are.
Exactly. And you can... they're relational too, which is the focus of my book is that you're using adventures. They're your vehicle to build relationship, to build connections as a family. And books are so, so good at helping us create connections and just build those relationships with one another. So there's just nothing like having an adventure together through the pages of a book, whether it's, you know, a mom and a child or the whole family reading a book together. You feel like you have experienced not just the journey, but you've gone through the things that the characters have gone through. You're sharing jokes and memories mm-hmm. from that story.
When I love, and I'm sitting here thinking about connections and relationships, like you're talking about, like this is the stuff our kids remember and carry with them, right? The books that we shared, the adventures that they had, the memories that we made together, whether it's on a hike or in a new place that you're exploring together, or any kind of adventure, or reading a book. I was just mentioning to a friend that my kids will mark sometimes our camping trips based on what we read aloud.
Yes.
So, like this last summer was, I read the Wild Robot while we were camping, and mm-hmm. it's totally the Wild Robot camping trip.
It was yes. Like, we do the same, like on road trips, we'll start a new book and, or a new series. And so, those different trips, even ones that we road trip to the same place year after year, but we can recall, oh, that was the year that we were doing the Chronicles of Narnia, or oh, that was the year we were listening to the Green Ember. So we can even distinguish by, you know, the year by the book we were reading, because the destination is the same, but the book is different. It's fun.
Okay. The other thing I really love, are when books and our family adventures dovetail. So sometimes this happens in the most serendipitous ways. Right now, for example, my family is reading Jasper and the Riddle of Riley's Mine by Caroline Starrose. And it's a historical fiction middle grade novel about the Klondike Gold Rush. Mm. So we're reading it aloud. And then not too long ago on a family outing, we went to the Crystal Gold Mine in Kellogg, Idaho. It's this old gold mine that was used like 100 years ago in the panhandle of Idaho. And so we went there to see the gold mine, and I hadn't planned at all. But when we got there, it was like there was a demo where we could pan for gold. They showed us, like, they have these big bins where they showed us like the technique for panning for gold. And we walked through the cave and saw the quartz, threads of quartz on the, there's a name for ribbons, I think, of quartz. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was so cool because I felt like the book was coming to life in front of
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah.
And it was yeah. one of those places we didn't even know existed until the day before. And then I went, hey, this isn't very far away. Do you guys want to go to this? And so we went, and it was like our adventure, and then our adventures and our reading were dovetailing. And it's like magic when that happens.
Right. And sometimes what I found with my kids, too, is things that we might not have been so interested in. We read a book And then it all of a sudden we've learned more about that. And then when we experience it in real life, we're so much more invested because the book made us care about it. So one time we were reading the Little Britches series by Ralph Moody. And the second book, he learns all about trick riding. And we, our family is not a horse family. We don't live near horses or ride horses, except we've done it, you know, just here and there once or twice. But I have a niece who is a vaulter, which is, if you don't know what that is, it's like doing ballet on the back of a horse. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. Okay. And so we went to watch her do a vaulting competition. And because we had just read all about, you know, Ralph Moody doing these tricks on horses, we were so much more excited because it came alive in a whole nother way because we had more knowledge about the subject and we cared about it more. We were excited. We would have been excited to see her regardless, but it just made it like next level.
A friend of mine had asked a year or two ago when she was taking her son to Boston, should I read books before or should I read books after our trip? And I thought before, for exactly the same reason that you're saying, because the books help you care. You don't even necessarily, let's say you're in Washington, D.C., and you're looking in one of the Smithsonian museums, mm-hmm. and you're looking at things in the displays, they will take on a whole nother level of meaning for you if you have some context to put them in, which is what books can give us.
Right. Yeah, and you can even do that with like museums. Like there's I live in Southern California near Los Angeles. There's a beautiful museum here called the Getty Museum, and it's world famous. And they have a book somebody wrote called Going to the Getty. And it's a really fun kids book. And it just basically introduces you to the museum itself, like just the architecture and how they built it, but then also some of the things inside. And reading that book before I took the kids there, they were so much more excited about going to the museum because it wasn't just like, oh, well, this is cool. It was like you start to build some anticipation.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie Martin, who runs simplehomeschool.net, has this whole post. We'll put this in the show notes in case this makes anybody else's heart go pitter-pat like it makes my heart go pitter-pat. But she has this, she took her kids on this trip that follows Little House on the Prairie's like journey, like the Ingalls family's journey. And so there's, you know, places in North Dakota and Wisconsin. And anyway, I'm blanking on the actual town names, but where you can like sleep in a covered wagon and, you know, see a log house that is a replica, I think, of what the log house would have looked like. And those kinds of adventures, I mean, I think I could basically get really excited about planning vacations around books. That's how nerdy I am.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I've actually studied that entire trip and I really want to do it because I was like, oh my gosh, to see like the house, the dugout on the banks of Plum Creek, you can go to that spot and there is a replica of the dugout. And it was like, are you kidding? That would be incredible. Or Lake Pepin where it is there and you can go to the lake where she filled her pocket with stones and it tore a hole in her dress. Like that's just, I mean, I'm nerding out with you. That it just sounds so fun.
It totally does. And there's a lot of different places I think you could do something. I mean, I really think you could just, you know, wherever your family is going, you could just sort of do a little online digging and it wouldn't be too hard to find some books that might be related. I think you, Greta, I think you're the one who told me about a book called Cubby, which I still haven't read yet with my kids.
Yes.
I had said I wanted to take the kids to Yellowstone, which we mm-hmm. still also haven't done.
Yeah.
But you had said, oh yeah, if you go to Yellowstone, you got to read Cubby.
Yes. So. Actually, I saw that in a magazine and it was an interview with a park ranger who said when he was a little boy getting ready to go to Yellowstone, his mom read him that book and he was so inspired by it that he thought when I grow up, I want to be a park ranger and work at Yellowstone. And that's what he does. And I was just so touched by that story. Just talk about a book impacting your whole future.
Seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think too, if you, even if you, you know, you're like, well, I can't go on, you know, to Prince Edward Island to visit Anne's home, which is one of my dreams.
Oh, yes. But, I'll go with you. Whenever you do that, bring me. Okay. I'm coming.
Perhaps we should start taking people on tours, book tours.
Oh, my gosh.
but even if you can't, you know, go to a far off destination, I think it's really cool to read, to find books that take place in your area, because reading even just like a book that talks about like the environment you live in, the plants that are there, the animals that are there, it's so fun for your kids and for you to hear the things that they're familiar with that they've seen in real life, because it's where you live, and you're like, wow, I know what they're talking about, or oh, that's the place where we've been to that spot, we've been to that beach, or whatever it is. I'm thinking of, like, for us, the book The Island of the Blue Dolphins.
Oh yeah.
Which takes place off the coast of California and off the coast of Santa Barbara, which is just a little north of us, and you can actually visit the islands. But even if you don't visit those islands, the environment she describes is the environment we live in and the plants and animals we know. So when we read that book, it was so much fun because we understood and we knew those things. So finding a book that takes place, that's written about where you live, it's a great way to adventure at home in with somebody else's eyes.
We'll get back to the show in just a minute. At the beginning of today's episode, I mentioned that what I propose for this summer is a relaxed and simple plan that offers just enough structure to keep your days from melting into chaos and just enough fun to keep your kids asking for more. And what summer wouldn't be much, much better with a whole bunch of fairy tales? Well, I'm teaching a free workshop called 3 Simple Steps to a Fairy Tale Summer. And here's what we're going to talk about. First, how reading fairy tales can make your summer easier. Yes, easier. We want to take things off your plate this summer, not put more on, right? Fairy tales can make your summer easier and more fun. I'm also going to share the fairy tales I recommend for every age and the tippy-top thing you can do to make sure your kids make delightful memories this summer. It is way less work and way less pressure than you think. The free workshop is happening live online on May 7th, 2024, and you can save your free seat by texting the word fairytale, all one word, to the number 33777. And yes, there's a replay, so make sure you register even if you can't join us live on May 7th. Again, text the word fairytale, all one word, to the number 33777. Yeah, and I was thinking as you were saying that, so we're talking about, you know, reading books about places you've gone or going, reading books that are set in your own hometown or a climate that's like yours or near yours, right? I also think, like, as a lot of our kids might be aspiring authors, we have a lot of young aspiring authors who listen to the Read Aloud Revival podcast, and going to places where, you know, looking for famous writers' homes, you know. So, for example, when I was in Massachusetts last year, I got to go to Orchard House, which is the home of Louisa May Alcott. And you get to see her desk where she wrote Little Women right there. It's the desk. It's amazing. I know here in Washington State where I live, there is the home of Betty McDonald. She's the one who wrote the Mrs. Pigglewiggle books.
Oh, and it's, I love Mrs. actually, Pigglewiggle.
I know, me too. And the home is actually it's like a bed and breakfast, so you could stay there.
Oh my gosh.
I know, on the farm where she wrote Nancy and Plum and Mrs. Pigglewiggle and all the Mrs. Pigglewiggle stories. So places like that, I think, could be really inspiring for your book lovers too, and help, like, we're always trying to connect, like, writing and making stories is
right.
a thing that you get to do if you want when you're old, you know, right. now, not just when yeah. you're older, but also when you're older.
Right.
And like making it real, putting like mm-hmm. legs and feet and hands and humanity behind the words, you know,
right.
that are being written.
Right. Yeah. A friend went to the woman who wrote The Yearling, Marjorie Rawlings. Went to her house. You can visit it in Florida and go inside and just see the, you know, where she wrote the books and her, the environment. And she even sent me, this friend even sent me, you know, a feather they found on the ground and some, you know, a rock. I mean, like total, that's a total gift that not everybody would understand, but I was dying because it's one of my favorite authors and favorite books. And, I long to visit, but I can't. So I visited through, the books that she wrote, and then a friend that, you know, understood my longing and sent me some things from her adventure there.
That's so fun. And that just gave me an idea. I don't know totally how it gave me this idea, but as you were talking about how you've longed to go there, but you can't, wouldn't it be fun to let each of our kids, like this summer, say, or something, you know, each of you gets to pick a read aloud that set, or a story that we're going to audiobook or whatever, that set in a place that you wish we could go? Because a lot of us are stuck at home. And
yes.
So, if you're, I mean, and then you're not even limited to like where your budget could have taken you on a family
right.
trip. You could go anywhere. You could go to Australia. You could go to, you know, anywhere in the world. And so that would be really fun. And to have them choose with that guiding idea of like, where would I go? And then pick a book based on that might lead you to some different books than you'd just pick if you were like, everybody gets to pick a read aloud, you know?
Right. And then you could do, my next favorite thing, which is to celebrate books, when they're done, they could have a book celebration where you eat food from that place. You could wear clothing from that place. If you can find some costumes, which, you know, kids are so creative, they always can rustle something up. And you can further experience the place that you went to in the book. And we love to end books with celebrations. So I think that sounds like a really fun summer project.
Oh, I do too. I love that idea. Okay, so your book is about not just adventuring through books, but it's about
right.
adventuring with our kids. So let's talk a little more about that too, because, you know, a lot of our listeners to this podcast do read with their kids quite a bit, or at least
right.
they want to read with their kids, right?
Right.
So if they're also wanting to up the ante on their adventuring with their kids, where can they start? You know, apart from getting your book, which I highly recommend, and we're going to have it in the show notes of this episode. Where do you have some tips for parents who are like, I want that. I just don't know how to get started.
Okay. Well, so I have, in my book, for example, different, you can start outside, adventures indoors, doing adventures that are going to push you, maybe ones that are a little bit harder. But I really suggest that if it's something new to you, you start small. And I think it's real easy in our current culture to dismiss small adventures because we look at, you know, people who are doing these grandiose adventures and they're
so
taking
true.
Their kids, you know, whitewater rafting, or they're like, you know, climbing glaciers in Iceland. And you're like, okay, I can't even hardly take my kids to Target without losing my mind.
Exactly. Like,
that's the biggest adventure we're doing right now.
We walked to the mailbox yeah. and it was a disaster.
Yeah. So I think that it's really important to not compare ourselves and say, oh, if it's not something big, if it's not this, you know, incredible life-changing moment or trip, then it doesn't count. Instead, I think we need to just remember that our kids, they're not looking at those things. They're just looking at us and they're saying, okay, I want to be with my mom and dad and whatever they plan for us is awesome. And so then we need to just lean into that and not be afraid to start small. So if your kids are not used to hiking or being outdoors a lot and you're nervous, you're like, I've never peed in the woods. I can't go on a 5-hour hike. This is crazy. Like, go to a nature center and start there where the trails are marked and they have bathrooms, and let your kids just get comfortable being outside in a place that feels a little safer before you know, have to go out where you're carrying bear spray or clicking your sticks together, all a Parent Trap. Do you remember that scene in the movie,
The Parent Trap? Yeah. I do.
You don't have to, you don't have to start there. Like, it can be more low key. Or like I was talking about museums. Like, I think I always envision, oh, I want to take my kids to museums. I want them to love going to museums and having the adventure of going to a museum and going and it just being a flop because, you know, one kid was bored out of their mind and like laying down on the floor and moaning loudly, this is boring. And then, you know, the other kid climbing out of his stroller and shrieking and people giving me dirty looks. And it was not anything other than sweaty and stressful. But if instead what I did was I took the, you know, time to, like I said, read a book to prepare us for a museum that we were going to. We read some books about one artist that we were going to look for, and we did a scavenger hunt at the museum. And we looked for just a few pieces of art instead of just wandering from room to room until you have, you know, art overload. And it made going to the adventure, going to the museum accessible and actually fun. So yeah. Starting small is just, it's okay to start small. It's a great place to start, actually, and to build from there.
I think so much. Okay, so this reminded me of Sally Clarkson. I remember hearing her say at one point that, now for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with Sally, she raised and homeschooled 4 kids who are all adults now, lovely adults, in fact.
Yes.
And she would say that at a dinner, her kids, when they come home for Christmas or something, they'll have all these fond memories of dinner time growing up. Mm-hmm. And her memories of dinner time when they were growing up were not so fond. You know, there was like somebody slamming a door, getting sent to their room, or, you know, snipping at the other one, or not being very kind, or complaining about the food, or refusing to eat. And yet their memories are not of all that tedious stuff that feels really big and like, oh, we're failures. So this reminds me, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking this is exactly what happens. We take our kids to the beach or to the pool or to a museum or on a hike, and they're complaining, and we think you're supposed to be having fun and making memories, and they are. And so they're not going to remember it all because, you know, I don't know. It's hard to like transcend the experience big enough to realize, you know, far enough to realize their memories of this can still be good, even if in the moment they're complaining.
Right. And that's actually, I have a chapter in the book about misadventure and how misadventures are actually a wonderful thing. And because they stretch us, they grow us, and they pull us together in ways that are actually often more powerful than when everything goes right. And we have a saying in our family for when misadventures happen, because they always do, that it will make a great story later. And it does help in the moment, because you're like, man, everything stinks right now. This is not going according to plan. And sometimes it takes a little while, you know, to get to the point where you can say it will make a great story later, or you might say it through gritted teeth, like, this is going to make a great story later. but really the truth of that, it's so evident, because you'll go back and you'll say, as you know, as a family, oh, remember when this happened? And oh my gosh, we were so stressed, or we were so scared, or we were so wet and uncomfortable, right, or whatever. But you laugh about it, and those things stick out, and it shows you that you can, you know, you can survive difficult things, you can pull together for each other, or you can just laugh about things that went wrong, and that's okay.
tell? Will you tell the story about your first trip to Yosemite? Do you tell in the book?
Yes, we. Well, okay. I'm an Enneagram 7. I'm a huge dreamer. I make big plans, and I just have such high expectations. So it was our first family trip to Yosemite. I had all these expectations of what it would be like, and we got there hours and hours late because of mudslides and traffic jams. And we got into our little tent. It was a tent cabin for all six of us, which was basically a canvas tent. But in the middle of the night, we woke up with, like, it sounded like, you know, fireworks were going off in the tent. And it was a huge, huge thunder, lightning, and rainstorm and hail. And it was kind of terrifying. Like, we couldn't get out of our tent. And I hope it's okay that I tell this story, but I had to pee really bad and I couldn't leave the tent because of lightning. And yes. I had to pee in a trash can in the tent. And my kids, one of my kids heard and was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Just peeing in the trash can. Just go back to sleep." So, you know, oh my. And then the next morning, everything was wet. Everything was raining. It was raining still. There was mud, and none of my plans for a beautiful hike or nothing was working. And I kind of had a temper tantrum, and I, you know, everyone could see how mad I was. And I'm sure if someone said, "This will make a great story later, Mom," I would have probably like glared at them or said, "Now's not the time," you know, don't throw those words back right, in my face.
Right.
But my husband, you know, he kind of saved the day, and we went into the one hotel that's in Yosemite Valley, and it's this big, beautiful historic hotel. And he said, "We're going to have lunch here." And I, of course, thought we couldn't afford it because we had, you know, sandwiches back in our cooler. And he's like, "No, I think we need to do this. And you need to just enjoy the moment, even though it's not what we planned." And it was beautiful and it was humbling. And none of us will ever forget it, even though it was not at all what we had in mind.
So good. I love that because it's true that on a big trip like Yosemite, or on a tiny trip, like a hike in your, you know, at a local trail that didn't take you very long to get to, things can go wrong. But remembering that you aren't going to think it's so funny that this is going to make a great story later, but it really does make a great story later.
Yeah. One of my greatest moments was as a parent was when my boys, a couple of years ago, they went on a scout. They're Boy Scouts, and they want a scout camp out. And it was a summer camp out, and we don't get much rain here in the summer, so they didn't bother to pack their ponchos. And then there was like this random huge rainstorm, like flash flood level. And I just felt terrible. So like, oh, they don't have ponchos. They don't have the right clothes. They're going to be freezing and wet, and the whole weekend is going to be so rough and terrible. And they came home and they said, "Man, it was so awesome. We were right in the middle of the storm, and we had to stand on a picnic table to keep our legs from getting soaked, and we still got soaked anyways. And we said, 'This is going to make a great story to tell Mom.'" And I just thought, oh, they get it.
They get it. And, you know, the funny thing is, 20 years from now, those are going to be the trips they're remembering, the stories they're telling their kids and their grandkids in the future, right?
Right.
Not about all the camping trips that were exactly how they were supposed to. So,
yeah, misadventures are really a gift.
So good. Well, I cannot believe our time has already flown by.
Oh my gosh.
I want every listener to know I've read this book. I love this book. It is called Adventuring Together: How to Create Connections and Make Lasting Memories with Your Kids by Greta Eskridge. And it's available today. So get your hands on it. Greta, you need to write another book so you can come on back. Or you don't have to write another book. You can come on back anyway. Now it's time for Let the Kids Speak. I love this part of the podcast because kids share the books that they've been loving lately.
What's your name? Jack.
And where do you live, Jack?
In Michigan.
Michigan? And how old are you?
4.
You're 4. And what is your favorite book?
Magic Tree House. Because it has a lot of stuff that I love.
Okay, what's your name?
Judd.
And how old are you, Judd?
5. Also, soon I'll be 6.
And what state do you live in?
Michigan.
And what is your favorite book?
Magic Tree House.
And why do you like Magic Tree House?
Because it has a lot of stuff I like.
What's your name?
My name is Abby. I am 7 years old. My favorite books are Magic Tree House, Little House on the Prairie, and Boxcar Children.
Boxcar Children?
And I like them because they're adventurous, and some of them are very funny.
What's your name?
Luke.
And how old are you?
2.
2? And what's your favorite book?
A Treehouse.
Treehouse?
Yeah. And Critter.
And Critter books?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Isaac.
And how old are you?
I'm 4 years old.
And where do you live?
In Oak Creek, Wisconsin.
And what's your favorite book?
The Trumpet of the Swan.
And why do you like that book?
Because I like Lewis's wife.
What's your name?
Caleb.
And how old are you?
4.
And where do you live?
In Oak Creek.
And what's your favorite book?
Machines at Work.
Not The Road That Trucks Built?
Yes, the Road That Trucks Built.
And why do you like that book?
Because my favorite is orange.
My name is Lucas, and my favorite book is the Jesus Storybook Bible.
And why do you like it?
Because it's the best.
And how old are you?
4.
And where do you live?
And I'm close to 6.
Where do you live?
In Pennsylvania, Yodley.
Hi, my name is Sam, and I am 9 years old, and I live in Yodley, PA. And my favorite book is Robinson Crusoe, and I like it because of the fighting and the adventure.
Hi, my name is Jack, and my favorite book is the Action Bible, and the publisher is David Cook. And I like this book because it's told through a comic book style and it has amazing illustrations.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I am 15 years old. I live in Yardley, Pennsylvania. My favorite book is The Goose Girl by Shannon Hill. I like it because it includes horses, and my favorite character is Issy because she is brave and kind.
Oh, I love The Goose Girl too, so good choice. Great recommendations, kids. I always love to hear from you. Hey, Greta Eskridge's brand new book that we talked about in this show is available today anywhere books are sold. I highly, highly recommend it, whether you're able to get out of the house for your adventures or you're going to be doing your adventuring through the pages of a book. It's a one that you're going to want for your own shelves. If you'd like a peek at what it looks like inside RAR Premium, you can go to readaloudrevival.com/insidepremium for a look behind the scenes. RAR Premium, of course, helps your kids fall in love with books, and it helps you fall in love with homeschooling. We've got master classes, professional development for homeschooling mamas, family book clubs, writing workshops for kids taught by their favorite authors. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. So many new members have said, I cannot believe how long that I resisted joining for so long. This is amazing. So come on over and take a peek so you can see what's behind the curtain there. That's readaloudrevival.com/insidepremium. All right, that's it for today. You know the drill. Until next time, go make meaningful and lasting connections with your kids through books.